You are now tuned in to the Boxing Bros, and I want to give a salute to all of our supporters as we hit 12K. I'm Kaden, and I'm here with my co-host.
What's going on? It's Trill, the Commission, Dollar Bill.
What's good? This is Ned's dad, Slippery G.
And this is the TBE, G's finished May 15th. I'm done.
All right, so I see we got some people in the building. I want to give a shout out to James AMG. What's good, my brother? What's that? GB Gertry. We got Rico in the building. Rico,
go to Rico, man. Go ahead.
Rico to everyone. That's my dude. Rico be wilding out on Twitter. Shout outs to the homie Rico. All right, we got 1 foot out the door. DJ Kunz. And Arlette, salute to Arlette.
You
know, respect to you, Arlette, from Harlem.
We're shaking, Boxing Bros fan. We're shaking.
Should we get started with the first topic?
if y'all want to dive into the topic, if y'all want to kick back. Oh man, look at see Arlette trying to come at us earlier already. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to get into that yet. That's a topic. So don't worry about it. We ain't getting into that yet.
Well, what's this? Yo, Katie, you need to do a video on the evolution of G. What that be?
You know what I mean? Yo, I don't even want to talk about G. I can't even stand to look at G right now. G is about to do something so despicable. And I want everyone, especially our day ones, to call G out when G tries to do the ultimate jinx. That's what I want to happen. Everyone, y'all know
about this now, or should we wait?
This isn't a topic, but you know, we can dive into it right now. Why don't you tell the people what you plan to do, G?
Yo, listen. For the Fury versus AJ fight, I'm rooting for AJ, you know? But apparently, I can't do that among because they feeling like I'm a jinx AJ. And I'm like, yo, fam, so I can't root for the dude I think's going to win? You know what I'm saying? So they want me to lie to myself and pick Tyson Fury. So it is what it is, man. Hey, it's cool, guys. It's cool.
So you see this G, the ultimate Joshua hater, is now going to pick Anthony Joshua. When you heard G himself say that Tyson Fury's the number one heavyweight because he beat Deontay Wilder, you heard him. Yo, G's such a Joshua hater.
I never said that.
He's a Joshua hater, but G's such a Joshua hater. He gave Pulev more credit for taking uppercuts, then he gave Anthony Joshua for winning the fight. And now G says he's going to beat Anthony Joshua to beat Tyson Fury.
Hey, listen. I told y'all, man, I need AJ to win so we can set up AJ versus Wilder. It's only right.
You know what I mean? Yo, everybody knows what it is.
But however, but real rap, I actually like AJ. Like, no jokes. All jokes aside, I actually like the man. Like, he a cool dude. You know what I mean? Like, so, hey, all right, it's cool. G, you a traitor. I'm like, how am I a traitor to who? I'm
disgusted to hear G talk like this, bro. I can't allow it, man. I'll
discuss. The way you was talking about talking in the gym yesterday, you should watch your mouth, man.
Yeah, fool. You gotta know your fools.
All right. Let me just tell you this. G's the biggest jinx ever. Let me tell you this. G's jinx started years ago. The G jinx is real. I'm going to point out the G jinx for y'all. Listen, G rooted for Bermain Stavern over Deontay Wilder in the first fight. Bermain Stavern lost. G started rooting for Seth Mitchell. Seth Mitchell got beat up by Chris Areola, right? Then G started rooting for Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder got clipped, right? So G's been flip-flopping, bandwagon hopping for a long time, right? So now that Wilder got smacked, right, G says, oh, Tyson Fury's the number one heavyweight in the game, right? He's riding Tyson Fury. Now G says he's going to pick Anthony Joshua. Yo, G went so far as to say yesterday that he's going to buy an Anthony Joshua T-shirt. Come on now. He's trying to put the jinx on AJ. There's not wrong with rooting for AJ if you really want AJ to win. But you and I know that he wants Tyson Fury to win, and he's trying to jinx AJ. That's my problem with him.
And G also picked Big Baby Miller, before when he was rooting for him when he was gonna fight AJ. Then he rooted for AJ against Ruiz. AJ lost.
Listen, this is how flip flopping G is. In the first fight, G picked Anthony Joshua to beat Ruiz, but then when Ruiz beat AJ, him and Complex jumped up, hugging each other, jumping up and down, talking about we in style, the big boy season. Then in the rematch, he picked Ruiz. I'm telling you, G's the ultimate jinx, and now G's trying to pick Anthony Joshua.
Yo, this one was funny right here. Hey man, listen.
I want to give a shout out to Lady Shed in the building. What's good,
Lady Shed? Yo, there's only been two fighters that I'm like I certified was riding with. Number one was Seth Mitchell, and number two is Deontay Wilder. Everybody else, I just pick them. You know what I'm saying? So with Tyson Fury and AJ, like, yo, I'm picking AJ because I think AJ's gonna win. That's it. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with, yo, I'm riding with either or. But I do respect AJ. I actually respect Tyson Fury too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got no beef with these guys. So, me personally, I just want to. Hold on. What'd that say? You going to Yahoo? Tentos with 1 foot on the ground. Yeah, y'all are worse, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. AJ doesn't want your poison support, G. Wow.
Yo, listen.
It's cool. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you like this, right? G is the reason. People say, well, how come there hasn't been a great American heavyweight? Slippery G is the reason why. As soon as G backs them, they slip. G,
I promise you.
G, your new nickname is Banana Skin G. You know what I'm saying? They're the reason why we don't have any good American
heavyweight. Hold on. Yo, Big Baby Anderson.
Yo, oh my goodness.
Don't do it, G. Yo, I'm just saying, the gentleman has all the necessary skills to be a champion in heavyweight division. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna declare him a champ now. You know what I mean? I learned my lesson with Seth. So I'm gonna fall back. But my man got skills. He's a talented young man. So that's all I'm gonna say. You know, he's saying, you know, Malik Scott's gonna end up at AJ's camp because of Christopher Ritchie. If AJ do that, he's a fool. You know what I mean? Oh man.
Anyways, we just had to share that was from yesterday at Fight Camp, which we put a video of Fight Camp up. We couldn't really show every aspect of the Fight Camp because, you know, some points were working out and everything, but we're gonna try to get it to you. So if you can check out Fight Camp. Let us know what you think about Fight Camp. Should we make more videos? Should we make some tutorial videos? Should we, you know, just give us your input on Fight Camp?
Hold on. But speaking of Fight Camp, there were certain things that I guess wasn't put in the video. But I want to bring this up to the audience, and they can tell me how I should think about this. My man, Ned, was so aggressive. He came up to me in the gym and was like, yo. G, my mouth is salivating. I want you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and for some little snacks. I need you in my mouth. I said, Hold on. Am I lying, Ned?
I say the last part
was an extreme force.
All right, maybe the last
part. Up until that point, it was
like, "Oh, fam, I feel mad, uncomfortable right now." You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, "Yo, man, back up." I told him, "Back up." You know what I'm saying? He's like, "Nah, I'm salivating." I said, "What?" But it's cool though. But it's cool. You know what I'm saying?
Ned came in for starters. Ned came in like 40 minutes late. Ned came in late. Guns blazing. It was just hilarious. But you know,
yeah, a little dance.
He had a little dance.
Go ahead, Ned. Show the world.
Yeah, it's all good. I don't got my belt right now. They see it on the 15th.
Don't worry. You'll get it on the email. You know what I'm saying? Just click it.
I ain't going to
deny. Shame on you, LK. Shame on you, LK. How dare you blame me for G's?
LK, you're a real one, bro.
For G's lousy performance during the first punch off, LK. How dare you?
Give me a salute. You know what I'm saying? Yo,
hold G accountable for his terrible performance, LK. Don't try to blame the ref.
Yeah. You know it's crazy.
You know what? I should have disqualified G. The more I think about it, we should just eat that belt. We should just eat on that belt.
You know what's crazy? Guess where G was at after the gym, Caden? You won't believe it.
Uh-oh.
You won't believe it.
What up?
I caught him at Hooters eating a 50 piece, man.
Now he lying. You see? What did I eat at Hooters?
No,
all right then. Oh, okay. All right, lying ass. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Watch the mouth. You know what I mean?
Oh man. All right, fellas. It looks like we got some people coming in so we can start the show. My man Trill Dog Bill, you ready to rock? I can't hear you, my brother. You on mute, my brother.
I've been ready to rock. I was just enjoying the banter between my fellow brothers, man. That is had me over here in stitches. But
hold up. There's a lot of G hate being tossed around right now. Very uncool. G has a supporter.
Yeah, I was just about to jump and see. I was just seeing she read my mind.
I don't understand how I catch so much hate, but dudes be salivating in their mouth for G. Crazy.
Yo, listen, let me tell you something. Y'all don't understand. See, G plays this role on the show. Like, G's like laid back. Yo, he's always the one. If you see Fight Camp and we roll cameras, G attacks everyone. G's just coming nonstop attacking everyone. And then when we're here, G tries to sit back like, why everybody want to come at me? Why everybody want to mess with G?
Don't understand, yo. Yo, yesterday, all I said was, yo, I'm rooting for AJ. I thought they were going to jump me in the gym. Thank goodness for the Crunch Gym staff. They'd be like, yo, break this up. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, the way they were ice grilling me, I was like, word, fellas, that's how y'all feeling?
Yo, G, you know what he be doing, man. Listen. You know what I'm saying? We're going to stop bashing G, okay? G, people.
Yo, Mr. T, Craig. Oh, I picked the wrong word. We'll just right here. Get G some Gorilla Glue for the punch.
Yo, G will have another excuse. We do that, G going to find another excuse.
Yo, the Gorilla Glue too sticky, son. You know what I mean? I'm playing.
May 15th, LK. May 15th. We're gonna have a press conference and everything.
It's called for G shit talking. Yo, you see, AVP, you're right. That's why I'm coming in humble this go round. You know, no, I ain't bringing too much smoke to that. My responses are strictly said to me. That's all I'm gonna say.
What? Look at what I gotta say about what G just said.
You know that is a lie, man.
Oh man, Ned is a hard puncher. You know, like. Ned has great power. Blessings. You know what I mean? Finger salute, Ned. Crooked finger salute.
Keeping it clean and simple.
Let's start the show, everyone. Let's start the show.
All right. So, first up, Saudi Arabia with the site fee in excess of $150 million.
Yes. Yeah, so, ESPN, Mark Kegel, and even ESPN.com has reported that there's a proposed memorandum of understanding being sent from Saudi Arabia for the site fee to make it legally bonded, which is in excess of $150 million, which means that Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua will take $75 million each, and there will still be money left over to pay people on the undercard. And that's not even including pay-per-view revenue for these guys. So with that being said, Trill Dollar Bill, what's your thoughts on what's being reported as $150 million site fee?
That's a lot of chicken. 150 mil, a lot of chicken. You know? Kudos to those guys. That's big money. I can't hate on that. Only thing you can say is congratulations. Give us a date. You know? That's it. Congratulations, guys. Now give us a date. Y'all making a lot of chicken for this fight, so.
All right, Conspiracy G.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew it was going to be in the Middle East somewhere. So, you know, Saudi Arabia actually put up I've never seen a bag this large before. So I like to imagine that, you know, people in the UK, they got to understand, man, it is what it is. They got to get that money. So, you know, but I do hope the rematch would be in the UK. I think that would be huge, you know, so. You know, but salute to Saudi Arabia, man. Boxing bro, Saudi Arabia, man. I don't know if we're going to be over there, but if one of them sultans want to mail us 4 tickets, you know what I mean? I'm in the building, so.
No. we'll take it. Ned the TBE, I recall you saying Dubai. Well, it sounded like it's going to be in Saudi Arabia. What do you have to say about yourself and that?
Hey, I was close. You know, I couldn't put my finger on it. But, you know, Saudi Arabia it is. And $150 million for just to rent out the place? That's crazy. So, this tell you this fight's going to do a lot of big numbers. And shout out to Fury and AJ for securing that bag, man. Damn, G. You looking real foolish right now.
Look at all that said. Won't be a rematch if Tyson wins.
I don't know. If he wins, I think he's going to be even more confident.
If he wins, he def gone, bro. You know what I'm saying? I feel you all that. I agree. That's why AJ need to win. You know what I'm
saying? All right, guess what I mean. So this is huge because they're saying previously the biggest site fee was the $60 million for Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz, too. So this is 150. When you think about how difficult it's been for boxing during the pandemic, how it's difficult to make big fights because you can't have people attend the arenas, you can't get the gate money, all those things. And you factor that in, it's been difficult for people to make top dollar. So when you look at Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury smashing the site fee record, that just shows you how big this fight is. These guys are going to, it looks like, make in excess of $100 million when you factor in not just the site fee, but also pay-per-view money. So that's great, especially during the pandemic. That just shows me how big the fight is. That just shows me how much people want to see Undisputed. And that just tells me how much some people messed up by not signing and taking a chance to make the big fight. But I think this is a good sign. But I'm with Troy Dollar Bill at the end of the day. I won't rest until I get a date and everything is signed, and that's when we can pop champagne.
All right. So now we're about to go into the next topic. Fury says Canelo has never fought a gypsy.
Yes. So Tyson Fury is backing Billy Joe Saunders, and he's saying that he's backing Billy Joe Saunders because basically, he's ready, and Canelo Alvarez has never fought a gypsy. I have the article here, so let me just get a chance to share it. Can you guys see it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, so here's right here. Fury knows what it's like to be the underdog, and he believes his close friend will upset the odds. Billy Joe Saunders is 100% mentally in the right place. He knows what he has to do, and he will do it. He will rise up top and claim greatness, Fury stated. I was written off many times in the past and have always come through. We are cut from the same cloth and are the same breed of animals. Canelo has fought them all, but never a fighting gypsy. We are a different breed of animal to anything he has come across before. He will have world domination. That's what Tyson Fury had to say in regards to Billy Joe Saunders. beating Canelo Alvarez. So, Trill Dog Bill, what's your thoughts on Tyson Fury's comments?
Saying what he's supposed to say. That's his man. You know, that's what's going on right there. I'm sure when I get the Canelo fight, I'm going to have my people saying Canelo ain't fought nobody that's three times real. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Tyson Fury saying what he's supposed to say. Hey, look, Canelo never fought a gypsy, but he's been in there with one of the goats. You know, so I think that that's good enough. And Canelo going to show out that night. You already know where I stand.
All right. Conspiracy G.
Man, me personally, I think Tyson Fury doing the most right now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, you know, Canelo's never fought a gypsy. You know who also didn't fight a gypsy? Boo Boo. You know what I mean? Demetrius Andre. So. Tyson Fury, I'll say this. Just make sure your man show up, man. That's it, you know? So, I don't know, man. But, yeah, that was cute, man. Salute to Tyson Fury going hard for his man. I respect it, you know, but.
Pause.
You know what's up. You got that. All I'm saying is, I respect the fact that he's defending his man, but. I don't know, man. Like, and I'm not saying Billy Joe Saunders isn't talented. He is talented, you know. But I just feel like he's no match for Canelo. But nonetheless, it's cute.
The Royal General, yeah. TBE,
Crooked Finger Salute.
Thank you, man. I just feel this is just a confidence boost. This is Fury just saying this to boost Billy Joe Saunders' confidence. Just get in the ring and fight Canelo, because, you know, the clock is ticking, and, you know, that anxiety Bill Joe's son is about to have is going to happen. So it's nothing spectacular. I get it. You're trying to boost your man, but we all know what it is, yo. Canelo's a different animal. Billy Joe, yeah, I just hope you show up on that day. I hope you're ready to fight. I hope you got whatever you got in your bag, because you say you could beat Canelo, and I really want to see this fight happen, if you're going to fight. So, still on the table.
I look at it a few ways. One, Tyson Fury is Billy Joe Saunders. Like, he's his big brother. As a big brother, that's what you do. You instill confidence in your younger brother. You're like, hey, man, I beat the odds. Look at me. I went to Germany, beat Vladimir Klitschko, went to America, whooped the biggest Dasa you ever seen in your life, and now I'm about to whoop another Dasa. So you can do it. Look at you. We're cut from the same cloth. We're the same breed of animal, right? That's beautiful work from Tyson Fury. The only difference is Billy Joe Saunders is not Tyson Fury. You know, and the guy he's fighting isn't some limited one-trick pony with one punch. The guy he's fighting is a man who has just about every tool that you can think of, is a guy who's hungry, and is a guy who's ran through his last two opponents like they weren't even there. He made them look starstruck. He made them look like they were just there to take a picture. So what I can say is I respect Tyson Fury for that. Now, when he brings up them being related as gypsy brothers, I can understand that. See, here's the funny thing. Tyson Fury says that. It's okay. And I'm okay with it, because when you have people who come from the same block as you, the same area, people who've been through the same struggle, you want to see them win. So they feel united in that way. They feel like they're brothers in that way. So what he's saying about him being a gypsy and Canelo never facing a gypsy, that's gypsy pride, right? What they're trying to do is uplift the gypsy people. They want other gypsies to see what Tyson Fury has done, what Billy Joe Saunders possibly could accomplish, and say, you know what, we're great. Although people may look down upon us, we're great. Look at what these guys have accomplished. And we can understand that. I can understand that as an African-American man and half Puerto Rican man in America. I can understand seeing people like yourself doing great things and then identifying with that, because you don't see it all the time. So I respect where they're coming from. However, being a gypsy alone is not going to win that fight. Skills pay the bills. He better be training. He looks in good shape. And even then, it might not be enough.
And crooked finger salute to Rachel. She's in the building, you know.
Salute to Rachel. Okay. Where's F.A.? Where's F.A.?
All right, we can. All right, but Deontay Wilder's back, and he's out for revenge, people.
All right, hold on. You got to give me a second to set this one up. All right, so there's a few things with this one. So one, Deontay Wilder, he posted a video. Not a video. He posted on IG saying that he was out for revenge. So first, I want to share that with everyone. So Deontay Wilder posted this with his trainer, Malik Scott, in the picture. You know, OnlyFans, take a dive, Malik Scott. Malik Scott will dive in anything. The canvas, go to his OnlyFans to see the other things he'll dive into. But I'm going to dive into this. So, yeah, Deontay Wilder posted this picture on Instagram, and it said, the action of harming someone because they have harmed oneself, revenge. And then as you can see, this is the photograph. But if you look at what was posted by Michael Benson, this is where you could see Deontay Wilder and Malik Scott, and you see Wilder's legs. And a lot of people were saying Deontay Wilder skipped leg day. It became the subject of ridicule. And a lot of people were getting in on him, including Irish Boxing Bro here right now. So, Conspiracy, as the resident Wilder fan, what's your reaction to Wilder saying he's out for revenge and allegations that he skipped leg day?
Yo, man, I ain't going front, man. I seen that picture with him and Malik. Yo, Wilder was kind of looking like a pot of chicken leg soup, bro. I was like, damn, he ain't got no muscle definition in them legs. Pause. You know what I mean? But I'm going to say, man, I was like, bro, you def don't do legs for real. Like when he was saying he don't do he don't jump rope, he don't run, it shows, you know. So but then again, man, it seemed like he never needed them legs until the last Fury fight. So I'm hoping he's at least doing a leg day once every other week, you know. So but that whole revenge thing, hey man, listen, it depends on who Wilder fights next. You know, and it should lead back to a Tyson Fury fight, you know. But if, I mean, listen, I'm going to say this. Sometimes when Wilder talks to me, I don't necessarily listen. I really don't, you know. So I just like what Wilder does in the ring. Outside the ring, hey, this is where me and Wilder kind of part ways. But, you know, if he could get some quality fights, you know, in the next, like, 2-3 years, because I don't see him lasting that long. He's already like 35, 36 or whatever. So he's going to retire soon. So I just need him to step up. Right now, he could take a tune-up fight. After that tune-up fight, I need some big names, bro. So if he's really out for revenge, man, just prove it to the world. And I support you if you're really trying. Because to me, it doesn't necessarily matter if you're going to lose. Everyone loses once in a while. But at least there to be great. That's all I ask from Wilder. Like, man, no, man, listen, y'all, you know, I ain't even gonna say that because I know you're gonna take it.
Speak your piece, G. Go ahead, speak your piece, G.
All I'm saying is clearly, Andy Ruiz has never skipped leg day in this past, in this training camp. He looked like every other day's leg day. Wilder looking like he probably did leg day once a year, you know, so there's a clear difference there, but. Wilder, it's all good, bro. Just get back to the fundamentals. You know, you'll be all right, you know. And I don't know about this Malik Scott as a coach, but as a lead coach. But, hey, Malik Scott may prove us all wrong. So I'm just optimistic for Wilder's career.
All right, Dollar Bill.
Wilder. Poor Wilder. Poor Wilder. He don't got a leg to stand on. it's just It's a wrap for him. It's a wrap for him. I just can't even. I don't have nothing to say. Look, as long as he's standing next to Malik Scott, I don't have nothing to say. He is not taking this serious. So if he's not taking this serious, then I'm not giving him that energy.
Respect it. All right.
Why does legs, Malik Scott? This is all looking like a recipe for disaster, man. And I don't know. I don't see anything coming out of this camp. This looks crazy, man. Honestly, dude left elite, a former champion. His trainer was a world champion at one point. He has the knowledge, has the skills. For a guy who's his yes man, he was hired as yes man. So it really just shows you where this guy's head at. Maybe I might be wrong about this, but this looks really crazy. It looks bad, and I'm get the view of Brandon a house on fire now. Like, that's it. That's all it is at this point.
Saying that, we froze.
It wasn't me this time, people.
Are we back?
We Gucci now.
Are you sure? I'm looking on my phone. I don't see.
Nah. Hold on. Let me see. I don't know. It seems like we're loading still. What? Come on, Caden, get it together, brother.
I think it's you, G.
This time, look, they quick to hate on me. You know,
Are they getting G yet?
Nah, yeah, one per Ruben already.
I don't know what the hell's going on, man. They always do this to us, man.
YouTube is like, y'all got to stop paying for promotion.
Low key, I was just thinking that. I was like, what if this is like, they going to unleash like a new plan. Like, yo, fellas, we seen y'all doing good things. Yo, you know? Yo, holla at this 12K pan for only $99. Make sure your lives is official, you know? So,
are you speaking buffering?
Yo, it's still buffering on my end.
Yeah, mine as well.
That's bad.
Someone went out in there.
As long as they can hear us, you know.
I think we're starting to come back, it looks like.
It's still...
Yo, G, get on your phone with AOL.
Oh, man. Hold on. It looks like we're back. Hold on. We're back.
See, everyone, this time it isn't G's AOL. It's Caden's AOL. Watch your mouth.
Yo, stop it. Listen.
It keeps freezing. It goes and then it freezes.
What the hell?
Nah, it's still going on.
Because I
see it on my phone. Looks like we're on.
We got
some thumbs up if we're on. Can we get some thumbs up?
Ned's Dollar Tree Wi-Fi's tripping.
We're back. We honestly feel like it's a personal attack against us because I sent the link out this time and we still have technical difficulty. And Arlette gave us a thumbs down. We still have technical difficulties. If you don't know about us, we don't pay YouTube anything. So we just do our channel. We just live, right? And we having technical difficulties. Trill has a conspiracy. He believes it's because we don't pay YouTube that YouTube messes up our live streams. But I mean, I don't know.
Conspiracy Trill, legit.
Conspiracy Trilogy.
So Caden's Dollar Tree Wi-Fi was tripping.
I'm not even going to entertain that. I have the strongest internet you can have. I know this for a fact. I download files in 2 seconds. Like, no hyperbole. So
that's what I'm saying.
It is what it is. Yeah, I upload videos, long A videos like this. So
you might be on to something, Iris, bro. You might be on to something, Iris Boxing, bro. You might be on to
They say Complex is hacking us.
My fault, but who was
It's on Kaden now. I went.
Oh, it's on me for a Wild Out for Revenge. Oh, all right. So for me, I'm just happy to see that this dude is talking. But the revenge factor is dead, bro. Said we froze again.
No, we didn't freeze
again. You heard with 1 foot out the door, said.
Nah, we good. We good.
Nah, bro, I don't see you. I don't see it on my phone.
Yeah, we froze.
Yeah, that's 1 foot out the door. You called it.
Yeah, what's really good, man? Like, all right, I see us. We're back.
We're back. You said one of the wildfire.
I guess we're back. All right, so if we're back, Wilder can't get revenge, and this is my thing: you can't get revenge because you already lost. See, you were playing the long game. You were playing the invest in myself game. I can make $100 million in one fight game. But now Tyson Fury's about to make that $100 million in one fight. You thought Anthony Joshua needed you to make the $100 million in one fight. But guess what? He's about to make the $100 million in one fight with Tyson Fury. And prior to that, he made a lot more money, right, fighting Andy Ruiz than you made in your entire career. So he's about to get another payday. And then after that, there'll be a rematch, and he'll get another payday. Anthony Joshua is on his DJ Cali. He's always trying to get another one.
Another one.
And you, Deontay Wilder, you're talking about revenge. What kind of revenge are you going to get? After Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua fight one another and they make $100 million with one another, they turn around, do a rematch, they may even make more money. Let's say, hypothetically, they split 1-1. Trilogy. And you know what that means? More money, more money, more money. You know what I'm saying? So what revenge are you going to get? Even if you get Tyson Fury after Joshua got him, even if you get Joshua after Tyson Fury got him, you, my friend, are not getting $100 million for that fight. You dropped the ball. You fumbled the bag. That's what you did. All over ego, all over pride. You were put in the position by Lou DiBella to make generational wealth and to show your appreciation. You fired Lou DiBella. What revenge are you going to get? Nothing. And depending on the outcome of the fight for Undisputed, you know, maybe there's a dog's chance in HE double hockey sticks that you'll fight the winner of Undisputed and beat them, and then you can become Undisputed. But at the end of the day, Wilder, there's no revenge for you. You flat out lost. It's over. You got to chalk up the L. Because Undisputed looks like it's going to happen. It looks like Joshua and Fury are going to make generational wealth in one fight that doesn't include you, all because you thought that the world needed you. You thought Undisputed needed you. You thought all of this, and now it's going on without you. The big bad king who was dethroned. And now you're going to sit and watch Undisputed like all the rest of us. So there is no revenge for you, Deontay. But I'm happy that you're training. And I'm happy, well, if that's what you want to call it, because you got Malik Scott as your trainer. But I'm happy to see that at least you were doing something. But at the end of the day, regardless of what you do, there will never be no revenge. You can knock Tyson Fury out 2 years from now. It won't change the fact that Fury made $100 million fighting AJ, and then he made more money. You're never getting that revenge because you're never getting that payday. So to wrap this up, you played yourself.
Now
we really got Malik Scott though, man. That's just I don't know, man.
Hey, Malik, watch your mouth, Trill. Scott is a jack of all trades, you know.
I guess Malik DeAndre is gonna be like, yo, what's this oil for, Malik?
Yo, Trill, he's gonna oil him up, and then Bottas gonna be like, why you got on headgear? You spawn me today. You doing a lot of hugging, Malik. You doing a lot of hugging today, Malik.
Oh man, y'all crazy, man. All right, so next up, some other heavyweights. What are Chris Ariola's chances of beating Andy Ruiz Jr.? All
right, so before we go any further with this, right? Is anyone picking Chris Ariola to beat Andy Ruiz? Speak up now.
You look like Ned want to pick him.
Watch your mouth.
I don't know, Ned. You looking like you want to jump out. Yeah, yeah. Like
you want Ariola. Crooked finger, you know?
This is going to be a wash. I'll go first. This is going to be a wash. Andy Ruiz is going to mop the floor with this guy, send him back into retirement. Chris just came out to get an easy payday. Simple. He might just take 40 years old now? He might take 40-year-old dive and call it a day. That's all.
All right. Dollar bill.
Honestly, I think Chris – Ariola, look, he doesn't have all the gifts. But one thing that Chris has always brought to the ring is heart. You know? When he's in fight, sometimes he's not the most powerful guy, not the most fastest guy. Sometimes he's outskilled. But this is one thing that you know. That Chris is going to put his heart out there. And he's going to go out there and he's going to give it all. He ain't going to take no dive. Ruiz is going to win. We all know this, but I think it's going to be a firefight for as long as it lasts, because I think that Chris is really going to go out there. He's going to go out on the shield. That's what he does. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. I'm sorry, Trill. I got a time off for a second. We got to watch what we say. AMP, we have to be real careful with what we say. So, you know, all right, go ahead, dog.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I think Chris Ariola, he's always showed us heart, if anything. He always showed us heart, even if he's been outmatched or even if he, you know, he wasn't his best self. He always shows heart. And I think that he's going to go out there and he's going, you know, it's going to be a firefight for as long as it lasts. I think he's going to go out on his shield. If he does go out, he ain't going to type just going to, you know, quit on his stool or, you know what I'm saying, take a dive. He's going to go out there. He's going to let it go, especially if he knows that this is the last hurrah. You know, he still got pride. He still got kids, man. He's going to go out there and bang, and he's going to talk about it after the fight. We're using some swear words to describe
it. He was a tough mother effer.
I can't believe he effed me up. But I think he's going to do a good effort for himself. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Andy's just going to be too much for him. But he ain't going to just go in there and just take a dive.
All right. Respect, Conspira G.
Yeah. I'll say this, man. I don't see Chris Ariola winning at all due to his age. You know, the punishment he's taking all these years in the ring. But I'll say, yo, this is the best shape I've seen him in a long time. So maybe that time off has helped him, might help his performance. But when I look at Andy Ruiz lost a lot of fat, put on a lot of muscle. You know, I just think he's going to be too much for Chris Ariola. You know, Chris Ariola is like a stand there fighter type of guy. So that's like perfect for Andy Ruiz anyways. So it's just too dangerous for Chris Ariola. But again, Chris Ariola has that traditional Mexican chin. You know, he takes a lot of punishment. He brings a lot of punishment. But I just don't think he's going to really do much with Andy Ruiz, man. So salute to Chris Ariola, though, man. You've entertained me for a long time. But this, I'm sorry, man. Andy might put you in a body bag. Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, you gotta be careful what you say now, G.
You know what? And much respect to all those, you know, that have been knocked out in the ring and all that good stuff. You know, the PC police is after me right now. So I'm on a YouTube probation. So pardon me, everyone. You know what I mean?
Look, man, let's be real about this. Chris Areola, at his best, used to fight to the level of his competition. And then even in interviews after the fight, he would say how, like, he couldn't resist going up the street to get, like, some churros and some tacos. He would talk about how he was getting beat up by his sparring partners. I know that it was after one fight. He shot out his sparring partners for beating him up in training camp because that's what got him ready for the fight. Then you look at Chris Areola at the peak of his powers, got beat up by Bermain Stiverne twice. At the peak of his powers, Chris Areola got beat up by Bermain Stiverne twice. So I'm going to repeat that again. At the peak of his powers, Chris Areola got beat up by Bermain Stiverne twice. No, we didn't freeze or rewind. I just felt the need to say that multiple times. Now, after Chris Areola got beat up by Bermain Stiverne, he's lost to Deontay Wilder. He's lost a number of fights. But he was just in a war with Adam Kownowski, where I think they broke some heavyweight record for punches thrown or punches landed or something like that. They both took a beating in that fight. You look at Adam Kownowski.
He froze.
Oh, gosh. It's like it's always freezing on me, bro.
I'm about to hit up StreamYard, man, and find out what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Nah, you better hit up Al Heyman. We apologize, Al. It's nothing personal. It's your guy.
This is running as smoothly as Triller's pay-per-view. All right, so getting back to it, like I was saying, Chris Areola was in a fight with Adam Kownowski where he either took or they threw the most punches in the heavyweight fight or they landed the most punches in the heavyweight fight. It was a grueling fight. And if you look at Adam Kownowski, he lost his very next fight to Robert Helenius. He was knocked out. And I think a lot of that was accumulation of punishment that he received in the fight with Chris Areola. So now you look at Chris Areola, he's about to get in the ring with this thing's, I see, like, are you sure we're not frozen?
Damn. Yeah, we froze again, bro. You should use the cell phone hotspots for the stream.
Oh my god.
Maybe, you know, man, it was the punishment that Kownowski took in that fight with Chris Areola. I was with you, brother. I was still with you.
All right, so anyways, getting back to it, I think that Chris Areola took a lot of punishment in the fight with Adam Kownowski. And so now you have a Chris Areola who's been through so many wars, even in his prime, wasn't good enough to beat Bermain Stiverne, wasn't good enough to beat Deontay Wilder. However, still, even at this point in his career, even as a washed-up guy who's been through so many wars, he will still knock out F.A. Ajapa in the first round. But then again, that's not really saying much. Now, getting back to Eni Ruiz, when you put Chris Areola's big, slow plodding behind in front of Eni Ruiz, I think his hand speed is going to be the main factor. I see Eni Ruiz teeing off on Chris Areola. It'll be similar to Floyd Mayweather versus Arturo Gatti in my eyes, just like the difference in hand speed and the way that Eni Ruiz should be able to pick him apart. Now, Chris Areola may be able to surprise us. Maybe Goosen has been able to get through to Areola. Maybe there's something we don't know. I don't see it. I think Eni Ruiz slaughters him. His chances of winning, puncher's chance. That's about it.
Thank you, by the way, Ale, for the compliment. I appreciate you. But no, I don't. I actually have little teeth, but I keep them clean now.
Yeah. So now, next up, predictions for Derek Chisora versus Joseph Parker.
Predictions for Derek Chisora and Joseph Parker. We're going to start this one off with Ned the TBE.
All right. My predictions for this fight. I love you, Chisora. I believe in you. But I just don't feel like at this point in your career, you can take on Joseph Parker, even with his under. Are we good?
Just saluting Complex, brother. That's all Complex.
And just giving Complex a crooked finger salute, bro. Relax. You know?
Complex, don't interrupt me, man.
Now, would you explain to us in the gym? Yo, the crooked finger is with all due respect. The straight finger is all disrespect. You know what I mean? So
I feel at this point in his career, Derek Chisora just doesn't have it in him to beat Joseph Parker, even with Joseph Parker's underwhelming performance lately. With his last fight against Unifier, wasn't impressed at all. But I think this one, him winning by points, outboxed Derek Chisora. I don't think it's going to be a knockout. I don't think he's going to sit here, come in here, and take his head off or anything. But it's going to be a fight Parker could win.
All right, Dollar Bill.
It's weird. It's like I don't have a dog for this fight, right? But I want to see good from both men, you know? It's like, all right, with Joseph Parker, you want to see him do something spectacular, you know? I'm looking for that. So far, we just see these, I wouldn't say lackluster performances. It just, I don't know, maybe it's just, that's just the way he fights now. But I'm looking for something spectacular, like a spectacular performance from him, you know? And we haven't got that, you know, well, I haven't got that, you know? And with Chisora, it's like, yeah, you know, you lost to the elites, but you're still there and you still give up a good effort. And in the fight with Usyk, you actually won me over. It actually made me want to see you fight again. Now, can you put on that same pressure that you did against Usyk those first beginning of the road, those rounds? Can you put that on Parker, and can Parker withstand that? So I want to watch that fight for those reasons. Both guys, they got questions that need to be answered. So I guess this is a question answering fight for me, I guess. So I know I didn't answer the question, so I just like I don't know. I really
now you gotta pick one.
So are you gonna pick someone, bro? That's all.
Parker's gonna win, I guess. But you know, I just want to see, you know, what happens.
All right, so Trill reluctantly picks Joseph Parker.
I just had to say, you know, behind the story with how I was feeling, it's like it's both guys. I don't want to see both guys lose, you know, either one of these guys lose, but I want to see a great performance from both guys also, you know. So I'm rooting for one guy in particular, but I think Parker should pull away.
All right, Conspira G.
Yeah, yo, Trill, I'm not mad at you, bro, because I'm thinking the same thing. It's like, you know, me personally, I like both gentlemen, you know. Chisora, he's entertaining in the ring and outside the ring, but he has some major flaws, you know, in the ring. He has an endurance problem, you know, and we know Joseph Parker, you know, he's pretty good at moving around in the ring, you know, and on top of that, Joseph Parker is way faster than Derek Chisora. And I know people are like, oh, well, Derek Chisora made, you know, Usyk look basic, but Usyk and Joseph Parker have two different skill sets. Like, Joseph Parker punches harder than Usyk. So, I'm going to lean towards Joseph Parker. I want Joseph Parker to knock him out. Do I think he's going to do it? I don't know. But Joseph Parker, you have literally the skill sets to do it. You know, I just hope, man, you've been working with your new trainer and that you actually, activate that killer instinct, bro. I don't know what's going on with you, but this is that moment, man, because Chisora has a good name. If you can pull off a knockout, that puts you back up in there with the top fives, man, because right now you might become a gatekeeper. You might replace Chisora if you keep giving us these boring performances. So you got this, man. I'm rooting for Joseph Parker by knockout on this one.
He would replace Chisora if he loses to Chisora. That
would just I mean, big facts, you know.
He automatically replace Chisora, but he's not gonna lose to Chisora because Chisora made the biggest mistake you can make in boxing. He hired Buddy McGregor to be his trainer. And look, you all know that I like Derek Chisora. I really do. This isn't a G thing. This isn't a G thing. Because I picked Derek Chisora to beat Usyk in their fight. I picked him to beat Usyk. You understand? So I thought Derek Chisora was going to beat Usyk. He didn't beat Usyk. It was a close fight. I gave it to Usyk by one round, but he didn't beat Usyk. And you all know that I like Derek Chisora. But at the end of the day, I had to keep it real. Buddy McGurk, to me, when I see him in the corner, his fighters have been falling short. You know, his fighters have been falling short. They haven't been winning. And I just can't pick a Buddy McGurk-trained fighter. So for that reason, I'm picking Joseph Parker. I also like Joseph Parker as well. And I like Derek Chisora, but I got to be real. I think Joseph Parker's the better fighter. Anyway, Joseph Parker's the former heavyweight champion. Joseph Parker beat Andy Ruiz, right? So Joseph Parker should beat Derek Chisora. When you mix in the fact that he has Buddy McGurk in his corner, then I see Derek Chisora training, throwing the ugliest, sloppiest, most terrible hooks that I've ever seen in my life. Right, then that also helps as well. And I want to say salute to you Irish boxing bros. You obviously seen me train before, so you know the boy got skill.
And be like, I'm stopping this fight.
I know. I can't let you take any more punishment. No, I can't let you.
You got more left in me.
That's Buddy's classic thing. If Buddy has to do that one more time, you know what I mean?
It's me. It's me. I'm stopping the fight. You know, like, I got two more rounds left in me.
Oh, man. All right, so next up, we got Ryan Garcia pulls out of the fight. What is that?
All right, so Ryan Garcia posted this on his social media outlets, but this is from his Instagram. He wrote, I know this news may be disappointing to some of my fans, but I am announcing today that I am withdrawing from my May 9th fight. At this time, it is important to manage my health and well-being. I have decided to take some time off to focus on becoming a stronger version of myself. I hope to be back soon, and I am looking forward to stepping back into the ring when I am my healthiest self. I want to thank God, my family, my doctors, and my supporters. So that is what he wrote. And so he pulled out of his fight with Javier Fortuna, said he's trying to be the best version of himself, get his head right, and things of that nature. So I'm going to start one off with Conspiracy G. What's your thoughts on that?
I understand mental health issues is real. However, I kind of feel like it's not fair for Fortuna. It's not fair even for 135 division because a lot of people wanted to see these big fights. But I understand if he needs it, hey, take your time. But the reason why it's tough for me because it's like, let's say Deontay Wilder or Tyson Fury or Anthony Joshua said that very same thing. Would we respect that from these guys? We probably wouldn't. We'd be like, oh, wow, so you can't handle the pressure. You know, dudes would be, like, criticizing these guys, but I kind of feel like, you know, yeah, exactly. I agree with Complex, man. It's like, poor Fortuna, this was his opportunity, you know? So that's why it's like, it's tough, man, because it's like, I understand, get your mind right. However, at the end of the day, like, it takes two to tango. And you pulling out like that messes up what the other opponent has going on. You know what I mean? This could have been his chance to propel himself to be amongst the names of Devin Haney, Teofimo Lopez, Lomachenko, and things of that nature. But you're depriving that man of that opportunity. But I don't know, man. It's tough, yo. I'll say this: it's tough. I don't know what to think right now. I'm still processing it, you know, because the message seemed kind of abstract in a way, because I don't know if it's like if it's anxiety, if it's more of a physical injury that he's recovering from, Was it passing in his family? You know what I mean? So it was like, I don't really know because he's not really disclosing too much information. So for right now, I guess I'll just say that get better, you know, but it better be a legit concern, man, because I kind of feel it's not fair for Fortuna at all.
All right, Trilogy.
I got a couple of theories on this, but I'm all for it, right? How many times, right, has a fighter went in there and they lost and they said, this happened and this happened and I was going to do that, and then we criticized them for making excuses, right? We said a fighter, you know, we want our fighters to be 100%. We know all fighters physically sometimes ain't 100%, but you know, when you're not 100% in there mentally, you can get hurt really, really bad because you don't play boxing, you know? It's not like another sport. Like, you can really lose your life in there when you go in there and you're not in the right place mentally. All the jokes and all the stuff aside, look, Ryan's going through a lot. You know, the pressures, he's still a young man, so he's a kid, you know, and he's got all these pressures, you know, and everything going on. I don't know what's going on in his personal life, but yeah, he's still young. He got to get on track, because if he loses, nobody, we can say whatever we want about, you know, but if he goes in there and he's not 100% and he loses, everybody's going to be talking mess, and he's going to probably lose his shy and whatever go have you, and you know, let him get his mind right so he has no excuses. You know, he go in there, get his mind, body, and soul right. I'm not mad at that at all. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. I can't fault you for, you know what I'm saying, you want to get your mind right.
The general.
Let me say this. I was gonna come around and joke, make a joke, but not Ryan. I understand, yo, we all go through things mentally where, you know, the pressure's too much. Just take some time away from the sport. When you're ready to come back, do your thing. But honestly, I feel like it's not fair to Fortuna, but, you know, hey, this is just, it's just people need to take care of their mental health, and this is just, you know, don't let the sport break you, so.
That's it, TBE.
That's it.
Yo, Ned, keep it 100. What were you really thinking? That sounded like a mighty PC from Ned.
Now, I was about to come out and say he's scared, but nah. He's joking.
You know, I grew up in boxing gyms, and one of the reasons why I decided to go a different path was because as a young kid, 12 years old, growing up in a boxing gym, I was observing things. I was learning the world. And I saw professional fighters who I admire. I won't name them, but you know some of them. I won't name them, but these fighters were very talented, very skilled. I tried to emulate them in the gym. I looked up to them. I would see them. And what people don't understand is, like, you see the fight, but in training, these guys are going hard. They're putting their body through vicious workouts. In their sparring, like, countless rounds in preparation for the fight. Sometimes they get dropped in sparring. Sometimes they get rocked in sparring. You go through all the physical damage that's happening to your body. And there's some of my favorite pros when I was 12, when I was in the gym at 15, right? I noticed that they were deteriorating. I noticed that their speech was slurred. I noticed that they weren't as witty. I noticed that they weren't as clever. I noticed that they were breaking down in front of me. Then I started to learn a business aspect of it, because I'm like, why is this guy still fighting? I would ask certain questions, and then I would find out certain things about how this man is getting beaten down. His body's breaking down, but you have a promoter and you have a manager who's making all this money off of this guy, and this guy is taking the beating. So for me, when I look at Ryan Garcia, I can't put my finger on why he would be saying this, but he did thank his doctors, I believe. He said, like, to my doctors. And so you got to look at it in factoring that he was probably told to take this time off. I don't know. He was dropped in his last fight. with Luke Campbell. He showed tremendous heart in the fight with Luke Campbell, and maybe he hasn't recovered from that knockdown. So at the end of the day, I can't really judge him. What I can say is this. If he has a real issue and there's something really wrong with him, would it be fair to Fortuna to fight a Ryan Garcia that's not 100%? It wouldn't be fair to Ryan. It wouldn't be fair to Fortuna. It's unfortunate for Fortuna. But at the end of the day, if Ryan's not fit to fight and he's been advised not to fight, he should take that advice, because we've seen people die in the ring, and Lord knows I don't want to see that happen to Ryan.
All right, next. Man, this topic right here. Austin De La Hoya apologizes for his commentary on Triller. You know?
All right, so let me cue that up.
I like to say, Arlette, you a savage, man. Your comments be having me rolling, you know?
Arlette, cool. I like Arlette, but she's a bit of a hater, in my opinion.
Music, hip-hop, the yeah. Triller event, right? So you were a part of it, even calling a fight. I want to jump into it received, like, you know, some commentary. It generated buzz, positive and negative. Some negative buzz. Even Frank Mir, the fight that you called, he put out a tweet that was kind of getting at you a little bit. What? Give me a response. I want to give you the floor to respond to the negativity about your Triller participation.
No, well, look. First of all, it's the Triller effect. I mean, look, Triller's doing it huge. They're combining music, entertainment, Snoop Dogg, you know, Ice Cube, Justin Bieber, you know, and it's the Triller effect. It's entertainment and it's huge. I mean, it's about to do 2 million homes. It's trending worldwide. So obviously, look, I've been in beast mode for about 6 weeks, right? And I got a little into it. You know, I started having a couple of drinks, right. And then they told me, "Hey, why didn't you go and commentate?" And I was like, "Oh man, okay." And I got a little over carried away, you know, and I apologize. But it's all good. It's all good. I'm back in beast mode. I'm ready to go. And I mean, as you know, I've been posting pictures. And
all right, so that's basically Oscar right there apologizing for his performance during the Triller commentary. So I'm going to turn this over reluctantly to Conspiracy. What's your reaction to that?
You see, I put up this comment right here from my man, Irish Boxing Bro. Are we even allowed to talk about this? You know, and that's how I've been feeling. So, man, I'll say this. For one, Oscar during the Triller commentary, I thought it was actually entertaining, man. Like, now, was it professional? No. However, nonetheless, I had fun with it. The rest of the world had fun with it. Twitter was in a blaze because of it. So, man, I'll say this. When we talked about it, was it last week? You know, yeah, I mean, maybe, did I go too far with my jokes? I don't think so, but I understand that it's a touchy subject, right? Like substance abuse and things of that nature.
Put the connections down again, bro.
Pretty much what I'm saying is I understand substance abuse is a touchy subject, right? I have people that struggle with abuse, substance abuse in my family. But I'm going to keep it 100. Even within my family, we laugh about stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a drunk uncle for real. Like, he is a problem. And every time he comes around the family, we all laugh about it, including him, you know? And it's not about we're laughing about his addiction. We're just laughing about the acts that he does at times, you know? But it doesn't mean you don't still love the person or respect the person. Me making jokes about De La Hoya's performance during the Triller event, let's just keep it real. I promise you, Oscar probably watched it back and was like, "Yeah, I made a fool of myself." And he probably laughed about it with his loved ones, you know? So I kind of feel like sometimes we take things too serious. To me, hey, sometimes you got to laugh at the pain just to get by. And if people want to be all extra serious, when you think about it, like when you look at the world of boxing, right? Like there's always going to be a sad story. Like, yo, people make fun of people getting knocked out. Like, think about that. You know, like a person is on the floor with brain damage or potential brain damage or whatever, right? They could lose their faculties, all kind of things that can occur in the ring. Some people, knock on wood, have actually passed away. But when we see knockouts, we're entertained by it. sometimes we want, we're looking for blood and everything like that. You can make an argument that's inhumane, right? But nonetheless, it's a part of boxing. So if a guy gets it on the mic, acting a fool, right? Talking about dudes' physiques, you know, saying baby and all that good stuff. You know, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. That's funny. I want to laugh, you know? And so and it's not saying we are disrespecting anybody who's battling any form of some type of substance abuse or anything. That's not what we're doing. Sometimes we're just cracking jokes, and it's just that. It's just jokes. We're not trying to embarrass anybody, humiliate somebody. Yo, I done been on this show where dudes is laughing at me, and I laugh too, because it's like, hey, man, I like to laugh. I won't be like, yo, how dare y'all disrespect me, guys? I'm offended. It's not that serious, man. Life's too short, yo. I don't know. But I'll say this, for anybody that felt like I took it too far last week or you felt triggered by my statements, I like to apologize. But just know, on Boxing Bros, sometimes we crack jokes. You know, sometimes it feels like I'm here, but it feels like a barbershop conversation or like how we be in the gym, you know? And so maybe I should do a better job censoring myself at times. But nonetheless, man, it's all fun and games, man. It's not that serious.
That's great news. Salute to Regis Prograis, man. He deserved that TKO.
All right, that's what's up.
Yeah, so Dollar Bill, what's your thoughts?
Oh, I'm in my daughter's room. That's what it is. I got to say happy birthday to my daughter.
Viva.
I know she came in like, what are you doing in my room? You know what I'm saying? We're in her room, you know what I mean? But it's her birthday. Her birthday is actually tomorrow. I got two special people in my life. His birthday is in April. I got Caden right there, and I got my baby, Viva. So happy birthday, Beeb. So, yeah.
Happy birthday.
You know what's so crazy is De La Hoya, right? It's the golden boy. You know, golden boy done been here before. And obviously, if he's making an apology, he knew that he, you know, he must have took it to another level that he shouldn't have, you know? And it's all right. It happens. Things happen. Sometimes you get carried away. You know, it happens to me, you know? So, hey, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at Oscar De La Hoya at all. Look, it happens. And we made a little fun happen. If you watch Boxing Bros, everything that my bro G was saying, man, if you ever watch Boxing Bros, you already know it's not coming from no place of disrespect. You know, we police ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Even if we might say something that might be out of wild or out of lack or something, even while we was doing it, Caden made it seem like, hey, just let y'all know this is all jokes. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, we're not wishing no harm on nobody. We would never do nothing crazy like that. If we do send us jokes, we're not trying to hurt nobody's feelings or nothing like that. Y'all already know how we rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not going to, you know, put my name around nothing. I'm a man of respect at the end of the day, and I got to stand on it, you know?
Yeah, these guys are crazy.
Yeah, 100. I'm afraid to even go there. Ned, the TBE.
Man, I ain't even going to throw no stones or nothing right now. I'm going to be like, sometimes we just try to laugh at the pain or laugh through the pain, but you know, if some people felt offended, we apologize. But, yo, Oscar, big ups to you for holding yourself accountable for what you did on national television. You know, some of us got laughs and giggles at it. You even knew it was foolish after the morning after, I bet, once you looked back at it. But, you know, it's life, yo. So we make mistakes, we get back up. It's only good when you can laugh at it and then recover from it, too. So, you know.
All right, so I'm just gonna state this because I had a few exchanges with people in the comment section about this topic. So I want to state in full disclosure that I've actually been a participant in drug court, not because I'm a user, but because my position and because I believe in rehabilitating defendants who commit crimes due to drug addiction. Right. So I attend drug court meetings. I attended drug court seminars, and our goal is to prevent people from using drugs. So we want to help them get clean. So you know someone's committing crime and it's to support an addiction, rather than just throwing that person in jail, you put them in drug court. So they do drug court for 2 years where they have to complete a rehabilitation program, right? And they're tested. And if they continue to violate conditions of their release, then they will go to jail. But if they can get clean and they can continue to test clean and not commit other crimes while they're free, then they can avoid going to jail, right? So that's a program that I've participated in. That's a program that I've attended conferences for. That's a program that I attended meetings for regularly to help the community. And we've done that. See, these are things that I don't always speak about. That's in my profession, right? So now when you go to me and my upbringing, right? Because there was someone in the comment section who was upset, right, about what we said, and then brought up their life story with battling addiction. So in turn, I brought up my life story about how I was born into a family that battled addiction. And for that reason, I lived in several foster homes. I attended multiple high schools to the point where I couldn't even graduate from high school. I had to drop out of high school, get a GED, enroll into community college for 2 semesters. Then I transferred to one of the top 50 colleges and universities in the United States of America, graduated from there, went to law school, passed the bar, and the rest is history. So I brought that up. Then that person told me, I don't want to hear your sob story. So why should I care about your sob story? You see what I'm saying? You want me to empathize with you. You want me to understand where you're coming from, but then you don't want to respect where I'm coming from. And here's where it creates this whole issue. When you try to make a simple video about more than what it's about. At the end of the day, none of us ever said De La Hoya was wrong because he had an addiction. None of us ever said that forget De La Hoya because his addiction. We were simply calling out his behavior, how he was acting while under the influence. And let me tell you something. You can be sensitive to drug addiction, but still hold people accountable. We did it in drug court all the time. We did it in drug court all the time. Now, that's when I was a trial attorney. I no longer work as a trial attorney. However, right, when you send someone out on the street and they're supposed to remain clean, they're supposed to follow conditions of release, right? That's what they're supposed to do. Now, if they go out, do drugs, come into court and test positive, what do? We hold them accountable. We don't say, oh, we understand that you had this addiction. No, because although you have this addiction, you still have to be held accountable. You still know what you're supposed to do, right? De La Hoya knows what he's supposed to do. De La Hoya is expected to come do commentary and he's expected to be professional while doing it. Showing up drunk or high is unprofessional. So when we call De La Hoya out for being unprofessional, are we wrong? Did we cross the line? I did not think so. But someone who may feel attached to that personally, that's okay. But we're not talking about your life. We're talking about De La Hoya's performance in a professional forum while under the influence of what he said was alcohol and what we believe, and we're just having fun with it. Now, if my parents, my question I want to ask is, I was born into a situation where I had no control. There was nothing I could do. There was nothing I can do. I was a baby. There was nothing I can do to change that. And I overcame it. And still I sit here and I laugh and I make jokes about it. Those were traumatic days in my life. You watch this show. When do you ever see me like I'm unhappy or I'm holding a grudge against it or whatever? Mm-hmm. No, you have to be able to laugh. Sometimes you can laugh at the pain. Sometimes you have to laugh at yourself. Sometimes you have to understand, you know, that everything isn't personal. Everything isn't a shot. But in the end, I was able to reach common ground with this person and reach an understanding. It's an intent versus impact thing. You know, it's an intent versus impact thing. Although our intent was to have fun and discuss something that we thought was funny, the impact hurt someone. And we never want to hurt anybody on this show. Like they said, we police ourselves. We police ourselves. But at the end of the day, it becomes very difficult because if we're gonna always have to be handcuffed by people's feelings, then we can't even talk anymore. We can't even talk anymore. So I would like to say this. I personally apologize if I said anything that offended anyone, if I said anything that made anyone feel like we don't care about those who struggle with addiction or those who are battling addiction. I can tell you firsthand that my parents are clean today based on things that I did to help them and assist them, in addition to my profession and things that I've done to help people who were committing crimes that were so that they can get drugs. And some of them are clean today because I decided to put them through the drug court program and not throw them in jail. So I just want to share that with you because we were being attacked and what I feel unfairly attacked based on a video that we made. And you can't judge four of us by a video. And a video isn't representative of how we go through our lives and how we view our lives, because every face you see on the screen has been impacted by drug addiction in one way or another, but we laugh through the pain. That's just how we get through things. So if that's not the way you get through things, we understand, but don't judge us because that's the way we get through things. And we love everybody. We got love for everybody. So don't make assumptions about us based on one video.
I don't got love for G until May 15th.
You gotta. I'm with you, my brother. I hear that all the way. Everybody, did you hear what my brother said? Yo, Ned, I didn't even mean to. That was just.
Nah, that's cool. It's cool, yeah. You know.
But I just wanted people to really, you know, that was real.
Nah, you know, I see the love from the fans. It was pretty dope, yo. It's awesome.
We cried. We laughed to keep from crying. Shouted. For real.
Yeah. All right. So next up, we got Vasily Lomachenko comes back against Mike Nakatani.
Oh yeah.
We froze again?
No, we didn't.
Oh,
screw it up.
We froze? No, we didn't.
No, I'm telling you, screw up the name.
Oh, and shout out everybody for all the love to my baby girl, man. That was so dope. That's why I rock 100%.
And if you really want to show love on the 26th.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Please stream her first single. So let me tell you about Biba. She loves music. I remember when she was just a little baby, she would get in like these little fits and you just had to put her in a room with some music. Let her listen to some music, and then she will calm down. And so I just want to say to Biba, I'm so happy that you finally put out your single. I can't wait to listen to it. And everyone, please support Biba. We're going to put the link up on the Boxing Bro community page. So please check it out and support my niece on her first single being released tomorrow. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother.
All right. So now we're talking about Vasily Lomachenko and Nakatani, which that fight was announced on June 26th. Vasily Lomachenko decided to make his comeback against Nakatani, who beat Felix Verdejo after being dropped two times, was able to get up and finish Felix Verdejo. So I want to ask everyone, what's your thoughts on this fight? And what does that tell you about Vasily Lomachenko? Starts one off with short dollar bill.
That's a tall order. Yeah. You know, that's a tall order. Shout out to Lomachenko. There's other guys that he could have fought that were much more, you know, height level that he could have did. I think this is tough. This is tough. This is a tough fight. So he's not coming back to taking no tune-ups or nothing like that. He's going right into the fire. So I want to see the mindset behind this. I haven't seen no interview where him really talking about it. So I want to see the mindset. you know, because this is big. It's a big challenge.
All right, let's go. Conspiracy.
Yo, man, listen. Salute to Lomachenko for taking this fight. Yeah. However, I just don't understand him, man. Like, yo, he's giving, it looked like he's giving up a whole foot of height, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, I'll say this. If Loma could actually pull this off, yo, Loma, he's back up there. You know, like, he's still extremely talented, but it's just a dangerous fight. And you just came off of a loss with Teofimo. So, I don't know, man. And I'm not, like, the biggest Lomachenko fan, as y'all know, but I would hate to see this dude take two back-to-back L's, man. So, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's a tough one. Like, yeah. But salute to Lomachenko nonetheless, man. But you're putting yourself in a tough situation for this fight.
All right. General.
I'm excited for this fight, man. It's pretty dope. Like, both fighters only got – they both lost to the same fighter, and, you know, they're very talented. I think Loma's going to show us that he's still special. You know, everybody was talking like Loma lost it or he wasn't it after Teofimo beat him. But I think, you know, Loma got a lot of get back to. And, you know, especially after the excuses he was given, I think he got a lot to prove. And I think this fight's going to be dope, man.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so Nakatani beat Felix Verdejo. But as I saw someone write in the comment section, Felix Verdejo was flowing well until he wasn't. And I think if you're Vasily Lomachenko, you can look at that and say, I can emulate what Felix Verdejo did, and I won't mess up. So there is somewhat of a blueprint, although Vasily Lomachenko deserves credit because Felix Verdejo got knocked out, and he's going to have to be able to survive and get through. And also, Nakatani's only loss, I believe, is to Teofimo Lopez. Mm-hmm. So if Vasily Lomachenko can do a better job than Teofimo Lopez did, that can be his rallying cry. Like, you saw what I did to him. I came on in the later rounds. You know, I beat myself. This is the argument he can make. Not saying I agree with that. Tio should give me a rematch because I'll beat him. And I'll be frank. I do think that Vasily Lomachenko deserves a rematch against Teofimo Lopez. I thought Vasily Lomachenko came on late, but I think although Vasily Lomachenko is not known as like a knockout fighter, as a pressure fighter, he had to play that role. And I was impressed with him. And I was impressed with Tio because Tio needed the 12th on my scorecard, and Tio went out there and took that round like a dog. So that was a great fight eventually. And I would love to see what happens from round one, with Vasily knowing what he has to do and Tio knowing what he has to do. And then I think that could make for even a better fight. But I do see a path to victory for Vasily Lomachenko because he saw Felix Verdejo. Although there was that height disparity, he saw Felix Verdejo outbox him until he got clipped. There's danger in this fight, but you're not great unless you take on some danger. That's why people giving Vasily Lomachenko a lot of slack. I don't understand it. The man has taken the tough fights. He lost to Teofimo Lopez, who I think is a great fighter. You can't dog Vasily Lomachenko for that. Vasily Lomachenko shows his dog again. I can't wait for that fight.
And so far, that the Nakatani fight has been the toughest that we've seen Teofimo Lopez in with. Mm-hmm. So you had actually
a split decision, right?
Yeah, you got something there. You got something there, bro. Because maybe if Lomachenko can do it better, that stays his claim. Exactly what you said, Kanan. That will stay his claim. If he can go in there and did it better than where Teofimo Lopez did, because Nakatani, the way he was talking, he was saying that they asked for a rematch, and then Teofimo Lopez wasn't trying to give one. You know,
I was also thinking, bro. That tells me like, how good is Felix Verdejo if he only could get it right? But yeah, like I'm with you 100% though.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I would definitely love to see that again. I would definitely love to see Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko get it on again.
All right, so now next up we got Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence joking.
All right, for anyone in this chat who may be a fan of either fighter, please let's be cordial. Let's act like we like each other. All right. So, all right. I promise we're going to be fair here. So we're going to pull up a few articles quickly. Well, at least I want it to be quickly, but. Let's go here. So there was a report that came out, and it said that Manny Pacquiao versus Terrence Crawford fight reportedly all but dead for June 5th. Funding reportedly never materialized for the fight. So they're saying that the funding never really went through for that fight. And then there's another article that was written on April 24th, which is yesterday, and it says Manny Pacquiao versus Errol Spence advanced negotiations for July. So basically, we're going to discuss the rumors. We're tired. Well, I'll let everyone speak for themselves. What's your thoughts on all this? Now they're saying that the fight with TC and Pacquiao is not going to happen because funding didn't come through. And now they're talking about this negotiations between Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao. Trill, you look like you're laid out. What's your thoughts on all this?
like I've been saying, man, you know these guys really are cool with each other, right? Like, you know, we've been saying this, like, these guys really, you know, the fight's going to happen when the fight happens with these guys, you know? And I'm not going to get serious on this fight till they take it serious. I said it before, you know? And with the Pacquiao fight, the money not being there, Bob said it already. Look, what are you going to do now, TC? I want to know what TC going to do now, because we know what Earl going to do. He's going to go grab that other Gucci belt. You know? So I want to know what TC going to do now, because he got to find a dance partner. I don't want to be all there all stiff. Get a little rust on him or anything, so he needed a dance partner soon. So, where they gonna maybe put him in there? Let Fortuna gain some weight and put him in there with TC. You know what I'm saying?
Hold up, Fortuna.
Yeah, everybody felt so bad for Fortuna not being able to fight. He'll do it. Gamboa did it. You know what I'm saying? So Fortuna, he'll do that for some change. I can see that happening. But TC need a fight, you know. You know, these guys, I'm not going to entertain them two guys fighting.
All right, it looks like Phil is done here. All right, G?
Man, I blame Pacquiao, man, because...
What? Wait, get him, man. Now you gone.
Ned, please. Just put your hand down. Stop talking. Don't do this to yourself. Let me at least finish my statement. And then you can speak the fool like you usually do. All right. So the reason why is because they both keep using Pacquiao's name, man. And it's like, technically, when you look at it, Pacquiao is a good excuse. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I don't have to fight you because I'm negotiating a fight with Manny Pacquiao. So it kind of gives them both an out, which I don't like, you know? So I kind of just feel like, man, both of y'all, if somebody does not actually get that Manny Pacquiao fight, stop talking about Pacquiao. Like, use Pacquiao's name once you got it in the bag. Once all the contracts are signed, then you could be like, hey, you know what? I'm not looking at T-Saw. I'm not looking at Errol Spence because I actually got the Manny Pacquiao fight. But these dudes constantly keep bringing up Manny Pacquiao when it's like, yo, bro, we want y'all two to fight. You know what I mean? We'll pardon y'all if y'all get the Manny Pacquiao fight. But don't just keep using Manny Pacquiao's name if y'all really not trying to get that Manny Pacquiao fight. If Bob and Al are like, yo, we can't afford Manny Pacquiao, stop mentioning homeboy's name, man. Like, let Pacquiao go somewhere else, man. But y'all two, I don't know. It just seems like it's a repeating story. It's just so repetitive. Like, Oh, Pacquiao, Pacquiao, Pacquiao. Oh, the negotiations dropped. Next thing you know, Pacquiao pops up again. I don't know. I'm just getting tired of it, man. I just need to see these two guys actually get in the ring. And if they don't want to get in the ring, that's cool. You know, just stop talking about each other. And that's it. Pacquiao to build clout instead of just fighting each other. Exactly. You know, facts.
All right, TBE.
What is it? I see TC using Pacquiao's name a lot, but I really feel like he wants this fight. He wanted that strap. But now that Pacquiao's a champion of Recess and Ugas is the one who's like they designated the rights to be champion, whatever, the designated champion till Pacquiao comes back, that gives Errol Spence like the path to Pacquiao. But TC right now is the one just like trying to make smoke out of like make nothing out of make. He has nothing. He has no cards to play. Sorry about that. I was just changing my thoughts again. He has no cards. He's bluffing right now. It's a poker. He's sitting here with nothing, and he's talking about Pacquiao, trying to make stay relevant. But, yo, man, he's folding right now, and it sucks. But, like, honestly, this fight may happen. This fight should happen. I don't know with all the talks, with what's going on with both parties, things like that. But, hey. I see Spence getting a fight with Pacquiao sooner than TC does. So, in the story,
I'm with you, Irish boxing, bro. Like they took it, and Stephen A. Smith. What did Stephen A. Smith said the biggest fight was?
Those two. Tripping, but he said it's those two. Look, man, I'm gonna tell you straight like this. This is like the lamest situation that I can think of in a long time. You have two dudes who are available, no fight scheduled, in the same division. People argue back and forth who's one and who's two, and there's no discussion between them at all that we know of. There's no discussion between Bob Arum. There's no discussion between PBC. However, we know that Crawford refuses to concede on his demands when he has no leverage. If you know anything about negotiations, this is negotiations 101. If you've never taken a negotiations class, let me help you out right now. Negotiation is all about leverage. What leverage do you have? So if you're Errol Spence and you can't fight Terrence Crawford, what can you do? You can fight Ugas. You can fight Ugas. Now, Ugas is the WBA champion right now. So if you're Errol Spence, you can fight Ugas, right? And then you can collect another belt. That's your leverage. If you're TC and you don't fight Errol Spence, who can you fight? Well, it's evident you're not going to get the Pacquiao fight. That would have been a beautiful fight for TC. I would admit that because that would launch him into superstardom. But guess what? You're not going to get that fight. I thought that fight was a long shot from the beginning because Manny Pacquiao don't mess with Bob Arum like so many of Bob Arum's old fighters that he used to manage don't mess with Bob Arum. So I thought it was a long shot. Now you don't. If you're TC, the question is TC, really, realistically, you have to. And this is why people are saying I'm a hater, but I was just being real. TC, who are you going to fight next? Who? Porter?
Fontuna need a fight.
Not nobody. Yo, TC, you've gone to the end of the road. You already washed out the washed up Brits. You know, you already beat Amir Khan. You already beat Kell Brook. What's next? What's next? You understand what I'm saying? You now have nobody left that you can sell to the public, that you can realistically make anyone believe that this is a good fight. That's why 60-40 split, you getting 40 and 60 to Earl was reasonable. Was reasonable. So here we go. It's not about me not holding Spence accountable. Again, Arlette, it's about leverage. What other options do you have? Right? Errol Spence should make the fight. I started off by saying it's the lamest thing I've ever seen that the number one and number two guy, however you want to rate them, are both available and they're not fighting each other. It's a shame on Crawford and it's a shame on Errol Spence. However, TC's the one who seems to think it should be 60-40 in his favor. TC's the one who said he won't even accept a 50-50 split. So it's not that I'm favoring Spence, but I have to look at TC and say, bro, what leverage do you have? What really, how can you sit here and run your mouth like you deserve 50-50, that you deserve 60-40? You don't have the biggest names in the welterweight division on your resume. You don't. And you don't have anybody else to fight. If it's not Manny Pacquiao, who do you have to fight? I'm talking business, right? I'm not talking fanboy. I'm not talking I like Spence. I'm strictly talking business. I'm talking business. TC, 60-40 is fair for you. You have no other fight. You have no other option. And Errol Spence does. Errol Spence literally can just make the fight with Ugas, collect another strap, and then look at you and say, I added another name to the collection, added another belt to the collection, and who you got to fight? Nobody. Nobody. This is what I'm talking about. To me, it's despicable that both men are available. Both men can make a fight, and they're choosing not to do it. And I am holding Errol Spence accountable for that. But at the end of the day, Errol Spence has been saying reasonable stuff, with the exception of the 70-30. The 70-30 is not reasonable. And if I'm TC, I would reject 70-30 in a heartbeat. Like, come talk to me when you're serious. Mm-hmm. But 60-40 is reasonable, and TC saying he won't even accept 50-50. So what am I supposed to do with that? That's all I'm getting at. But at the end of the day, it's despicable that these two guys aren't fighting each other when they're both available, because that's not what boxing is supposed to be. But I'll close with this. TC, if you really want to make a power move, get the Ugas fight. Get the Ugas fight. That's all I'm saying. If I was TC right now, I would be turning my attention over to Ugas and doing whatever it takes to get Ugas in the ring.
So now, next up, last night's performance, Agabalenga goes the distance.
We're going to start this one off with Kaspira G. Go ahead, G.
All right. To be honest, I'm actually grateful this happened to him. And the reason why is because, you know, that the first round knockout stuff, oh, that's cute, man. But, you know, he's a low tier opposition. So as he moves up, we knew that was going to end sooner or later. And to me, it showed a lot of errors in his game, which I'm not shocked about, because usually those are how knockout fighters actually perform. They're usually going for the knockout. They're not really concerned with defense. And so there was a few things that I seen. Like, I felt like he was taking unnecessary shots. If he was more concerned with defense, I felt like a lot of those shots he could have rolled with or blocked. And so that was, I believe that was the sixth round. I seen him take just a lot of unnecessary hits, you know. And then in the seventh round, I seen him kind of, it seemed like he was gassing out, right? Or he was taking the round off, you know, which is not wrong, because again, he's a knockout fighter. You know, he throws every punch with mean intentions. But I think this fight gave him that wisdom that he needed to be like, hey, you know what? Maybe I could just utilize the jab more, set up shots. Maybe I don't need to turn up every time. You know, so I feel like he's learning a lot from this. I'm about to make a loose comparison. Walk with me. This is loose. So I know people are like, ah! But it kind of reminds me of the Tank versus Santa Cruz fight. Just walk with me on this. Where Tank was taking a lot of unnecessary hits. And I was just like, yo, what's going on with Tank, right? But at the very least, at least with Tank versus Santa Cruz, it was, you know, champion-level fighters fighting each other. Belanga was facing Nicholson, you know what I mean? Like, bro, he's not a world-class fighter. You get what I'm saying? Like, not every fighter can be champion 16. Exactly. That's my point. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, that's why I said it's a loose comparison, where I think this is a learning opportunity for Belenga to understand, like, all right, there are actually flaws in my game, right? And the reason why I'm bringing this up,
watch your mouth, Ernest.
Nah, I don't think he's a hype
jock. Watch your mouth, Ernest.
I just think he's young. You know what I'm saying? So he's young in the boxing world, right? But I will say this. I think that performance, should G-check Edgar Belenga the way he be talking about Canelo and David Benavidez. You're not ready for them dudes. And this performance showed that you're not ready for the elites. Not yet anyways. But it doesn't mean you're not going to get there. Just look at this performance, understand, like, hey, it's more than just knocking a person out. Set up some shots. Use defense. You know, like, look at Canelo. From when Canelo started to now, he's a whole different person. So hopefully, Edgar, you can do the very same thing. And I like to say salute to Nicholson. Am I saying his name right? I forgot homeboy's name. But salute to him, man. He took a lot of punishment. You know, he didn't come to lay down. And I liked at the end, like, he seemed like he was giving Belenga a lot of, like, advice or words of encouragement, you know, because them gentlemen went to war in that fight, man. So it was very entertaining, man. So hats off to both gentlemen.
All right, Dollar Bill.
It was entertaining, even though he still didn't get the knockout in the first round. It was still an entertaining fight. Like what G was saying, I wanted to see him get some rounds in myself. But look, this is the first time we've seen this kid do more rounds than one round. I'm not going to be too hard on him. He's still a young kid. He's, of course, he got things to work on. He still got things he's learning. It's only the 17th fight, right? That's where we get to on these that's what he is. He's a prospect, you know? And I still thought it was entertaining. I thought that the streak would have the knockout streak would have continued. I thought it was the ref that was keeping him in the fight. You know what I'm saying? Because a couple of times when he got hit and put his hands in the air and went against in a row, almost went over the rope, I would have stopped the fight. I think he did more damage to that fighter, to that young man, keeping him in the fight than letting it go on later. The guy was, I don't know, but shout out to Edgar Belenga. I want to see him again, and he's going to keep improving. Just put him around some more other fighters. Get in there with some more experienced fighters. Rashear. I want to talk about his trainer a different time. But I think it's time to get him around with some other fighters. Get him in there with some different teams and learn some other things. But, yeah, I think it's the kids still show promise. You know, he's still so promised. I'm not going to call him a hype job. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was only, you know, 17th fight, you know? And he's in there, he's learning. He's still a young man. He got a whole future ahead of him. Let's not just rush him in there and, you know, want to discredit the guy because he didn't, you know. He was posted, his management team put him in there to do rounds. You know, not to get this guy. They put him in there with a guy that they thought that was going to give him rounds. So, shout out to him.
All right, TBE.
Yeah, it was a teachable moment for him. You know, like, I like the knockouts, like, yeah, that's cool, but you really need that experience where you go into deep waters with other fighters. And maybe just teach him, like, he really needs to, like, sharpen his tool shed. Go in the tool shed and sharpen his tools, because it was, you know, he let the dude hang around. He knocked him down the third round, but he let the dude hang with him all the way to the eighth round and got the decision. But, you know, there's certain things. He's a young fighter. He got a lot. He has a lot of potential. He has the power. He just really got to get in there with some of the elite, train with some of the better fighters out there, learn some better skills, and build on that.
So I feel like a lot of the criticism I'm seeing about Edgar Belenga is unfair. For starters, right, Rachel brought up a great comparison. She said not everyone can be champion in 16 fights like Anthony Joshua. And I agree with that. However, Anthony Joshua wasn't knocking everybody out in the first round. So Anthony Joshua was able to gain experience in his fights. Even if you look at his fight with Dillian White, for example, I think that was his fight before, or it was one of his fights before the title fight. And you look at that fight, he learned so much in that fight with Dillian White, but he was hurt in that fight with Dillian White. He got rocked in that fight with Dillian White, but he learned he can take a shot. He learned he can battle in a tough fight, and then he took Dillian White out. And then he went on to become champion. He went on to beat Charles Martin. He went on to fight Vladimir Klitschko. So you look at Anthony Joshua and his path, he wasn't knocking everybody out in the first round. When you look at Edgar Berlinga, you're looking at a guy who had 16 fights and knocked everybody out in the first round. So he had 16 fights in 16 rounds. So his entire pro experience was a little bit more than an actual 12-round fight, right? He had, in 16 fights, he had a little bit, he had almost one pro fight experience, one championship fight worth of rounds and experience, right? And not on the same night. And if you ever train, you know this, right? Going one round is one thing, but going one round after another, after another, after another, after another, that's when you find out who you are, because that's when your tank gets low. And if you, if you're a fighter, you know this, you start to make mistakes when you get tired. You start to throw sloppy punches. You start to, it's easy to be technically sound when you're not tired, but how do you throw those punches when you're tired? How do you react when you're tired? And you saw a guy who was being criticized because he was knocking everyone out in the first round, and then people said he couldn't go the distance. He went from knocking everyone out in the first round to going 8 solid rounds, and he dropped the guy a few times. I think one knockdown shouldn't have been a knockdown. I don't know if it was like 4 knockdowns, but it was really 3. You saw a guy go the distance, 8 rounds for the first time after he's only gone 1. So this is where everyone's path is different. This is where everyone's journey is different. So the fact that he went 8, I got to see more from Berlinga. And I think Berlinga does need to work on being calm, relaxing. But again, Berlinga was put in a position that he was never in before, and he got through it. And I would counter that point by saying this. Berlinga to me is not like Wilder for one simple reason. When he didn't press for the knockout in the first round. When he didn't get the knockout in the first round, he told his fans to calm down. And then he started working. He looked like someone who wants to be great. He looks like he's willing to receive coaching. He looks like he's not buying into his own hype. If Berlinga was buying into his own hype, Berlinga would have tried to get the guy out of there in the first round. Berlinga didn't do that. He let the fight come to him. He didn't look like he was buying into his own hype. So to me, that's what separates Berlinga from Wilder. I think Berlinga wants to be great. He wants to put on for Puerto Rico. He wants to get better. So to me, that's what he's different from Wilder.
That right there, when he told the crowd, calm down, that showed a lot of maturity for me. Letting him know, like, listen, that was just a little hype thing. I'm you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You caught up in the hype. Everybody else was caught up in the hype. You know what I'm saying? And which I thought was really, really dope. Only the future can tell. And so far, he's passing all the flying colors. You can't say anything bad about this fight. And when the kid, even in the last round, he was gonna stop this guy regardless. I thought that the fight could have been stopped sooner, but the ref let it go on longer. You know, and I think that that did more damage than good. You know, that's how I felt.
Well, no, I agree. I actually disagree on that one point. Thank goodness for that ref, because the ref gave Berlinga more work.
Yeah, he did, but I'm talking about the damage that it done on the other guy. The guy, his leg, it was bad. He was just basically using the rope to hold himself up.
Yeah, he had no power.
You know, it got to the point where he almost was going to tackle Berlinga several times because he couldn't stand up. You know what I'm saying? His equilibrium was off. He had to keep stomping in the middle because he couldn't get his legs under him.
I'll say this. I give the man credit for trying to find ways to survive every round.
Oh, he was crafty. You got to give it to him. He was crafty.
I give it to him.
Yeah, he was crafty.
My man was going for knees.
He was hugging whatever.
He wanted to survive that fight. He went in there like, I'm going to survive this fight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get knocked out. I'm going to survive this fight.
But I also want to point out something, because the comparison was made to Joshua, and I know Trill made this observation before. When Anthony Joshua fought Andy Ruiz in his first fight, he let Ruiz hold the belts, and he was just very calm. And it was almost like symbolic, like Joshua was saying, like, here, take this weight, from me. Like, yeah. Take this because he was expected to win. He had immense amounts of pressure on his shoulder, right? And then I think, like, after he lost to Andy Ruiz, that's when it was just like, whatever. That's when he didn't care about the hype. He said that he lost some of the friends that he thought were in his corner. And that's when he realized, like, yo, it's just me. I can only please myself. I got to worry about myself. And I think you saw a bit of that from Edgar Berlinga last night, where he was like, yo, I'm not going to feed into this first round knockout streak. I'm not going to feed into the pressure. He's like, yo, I'm going to get rounds and I'm going to do what I have to do. And I think in many ways, he's relieved that he went eight. So he doesn't have to hear about this streak anymore. He doesn't have to try to live up to the streak. He can just focus on boxing.
I agree. And all the just thinking about all the crap that the AJ went through after he that loss to Andy Ruiz. You know what I'm saying? The things that he had to go through mentally. You know what I'm saying? And so anybody that had anything to say about what Ryan Garcia just did, just think about how harsh everybody was against AJ when that incident happened.
Mm-hmm. Big fact, Joe. That's why I felt a particular way about the Ryan Garcia thing, because I'm like, bro, we violated AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people were clowning them for getting Navy SEAL trainers and counselors and everything, you know? So, I don't know, man.
Yo, this reminds me of the Lion King. Remember? Of the first Lion King. AJ.
Yeah. All right. So now let's get. I don't want to touch this topic, man. Mixed martial art fighter Chris Weidman breaks his leg, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. This is. All right. If you're squeamish and you can't look at certain things, you might want to turn away when this video comes up. Oh, man. All right, here we go. Oh, the video's been taken down.
Good. Nobody
all
wants
right. Well, we all know what happened.
Oh, man.
I was
over Twitter, too. I was like, ah.
Look, that was so bad. That made my shoulder feel better.
And also, we're not making fun of anyone's pain. He's just saying it's hyperbole. Would you say poetic expression?
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead.
No, I'm in pain. But seeing his pain made me not even want to be in pain. You know, you ever see something, right? You be thinking that you got it bad, right? You be thinking you got it bad. And then you go see somebody that got worse than you, and you be like, man, why I even got this thing on? You
know? I should just shut up.
You know what I mean? I'm sitting here mad that I got this sling on right now. You know what I'm saying? I want to take this thing off and do some push-ups. What happened with Homeboy last night, that was horrible. But, hey. They said the same thing happened. Yeah, I just seen that. Same thing happened to Anna when he tried to check the guy. He tried to leg check the same guy. So the guy got to be doing something. He got to be rubbing something on them shins.
Wait, it's the same guy?
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Wait, if it's the same guy, wow. Yo, I wouldn't leg kick that dude if I was in a fight with him.
No. Anderson Silva broke his leg the same way.
Not on the same guy?
I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? I ain't watched the fight. I just seen the aftermath of that.
Yes, it was the same guy. Everybody saying it's the same guy. Yeah, that's what I see.
Oh, he kicked Anderson Silva, who broke his leg the same way. And that,
no, Anderson Silva kicked him.
Broke the same guy.
Y'all are lying for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
Same guy.
Hold on. So, all right, if you're squeamish, turn away now.
Hold on. Is that really Anderson Silva? Man? I got to see.
No, this ain't Anderson Silva. I'm going to look up Anderson Silva, too. This is Chris Weidman. All right, look.
Oh, my goodness.
Yo, that, you didn't see it then?
I did, but like I saw it like the slow-mo. I didn't see it when he hit the ground. I cut out. I didn't see the leg like wild flop like that on the floor, man.
Every time he checks the kick, yo.
Oh my god.
Nah, Anderson's wasn't against the same guy. It was against a different guy.
Yeah, that one was vicious too. It was
bad, yo. I'm like, that UFC stuff ain't no joke.
No, Anderson Silva. Wow, it is the same guy, but Anderson Silva broke his leg on Weidman's knee.
Palmer, bro. I don't know, man. This
whoa, that's crazy. Yo, so Anderson Silva broke his leg kicking Chris Weidman, and then Chris Weidman broke his leg the same way kicking Hall. Wow, that's insane. Wow.
Palmer don't play, yo.
Ooh.
That's nasty. That's
nasty. Oh, my God.
Made me want to take my sling off. I can't.
Honestly, I feel you, bro. I'll be the same way, man. You know what I mean? You see something worse than you, you're like, man, why am I complaining?
Exactly. Like, why am I complaining? I just seen that. I'm like, man, listen, man, they got this thing on, man. I need to go in.
My ankle was a little sore. I'm like, ah. Wow.
I know. Right? You're like, man, listen, man. You got that, bro. You got that.
Oh, man.
It's certain horrific injuries that make you be like, oh, man, I don't need to do that, man.
He's like, those things could be career enders, yo.
Yo, I seen that, right? And just started limping, walking to the bathroom. That's how bad. You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy, you know?
Oh, man. So I guess we kind of already touched on this. We can move on. But I just want to say I wish him full speedy recovery. This isn't even about fighting. This is just about life, man. I just hope that this man can recover and walk the same way and engage in just normal activities the way that he used to be able to do. Because I know a lot of people are thinking like, oh, man, hopefully he'll be able to fight again. But forget fighting again, man. Just recover. But it looks like Anderson Silva recovered from this injury. I know Paul George, a basketball player who now plays on the Los Angeles Clippers, suffered a similar type of injury. And now he's playing basketball again at a very high level. So I just hope this man can recover and just walk again and do the things that he used to be able to do, because that's most important. Life is most important right now. Okay. So my heart's with him, and I'm wishing a speedy recovery.
I got to be able to do the James Brown after that. You know what I'm saying?
Gordon Haywood's another one. Yep.
Got Gordon Haywood, for sure. Yeah, that's bad.
Y'all ready for the last one?
All right, we got the last one. What's the last one?
The Make-A-Wish boxing event. You know?
Oh, okay, yeah. Do I have that here?
I thought that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I can't watch that video, bro. Oh, man, my leg. Yo, I just hold it. You know what's funny? Because I ruptured my patella. So anytime I see any leg injury, I just immediately start rubbing my leg like, oh, God. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's a tough thing. But I just think like it's so weird that he was the one that Anderson Silva kicked, and Anderson Silva's leg went that way, and then he kicks Hall, and then his leg goes the same exact way. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. Anderson Silva tested positive for steroids afterwards. But honestly, they have to take steroids after that.
Like,
Victor Cruz, when I ruptured my patella, Victor Cruz ruptured his around the same time. And then I was watching him on Instagram doing some crazy moves. He was already running, doing box jumps, all type of crazy stuff. And I'm like, yo, my doctor told me it's going to be like a couple of months before I could even run again. And I'm seeing this dude doing crazy stuff like a couple weeks after his surgery. You know, and I'm like, you know what time it is, man. You know.
Hey, yo, man, watch your mouth. And I'm gonna give G a huge watch your mouth, because if you don't know, Victor Cruz is my friend from undergrad. We used to play basketball all the time. Victor Cruz, listen, I'm gonna tell you about Victor Cruz. When we played basketball, he had one of the quickest first steps, like, ever. And so I used to have to play like arm's length off of him. I was pretty good defender. I would like have to stay like off this dude because if you got on him, he would blow by you. And he also had hops. Like Victor Cruz, like 5'11", 6 feet tall. He had crazy hops. So like he could throw it in the air, Victor would come and dunk it. And I remember saying this because we used to look at Victor and be like, yo, if he's not good enough to go to the NFL, those athletes must be next level.
Yeah.
So when there was that preseason game where Victor went off and scored 3 touchdowns and like started doing it, he started doing the salsa and everything, I was so happy because it told me like that I was a better athlete than I thought because Victor used to cook us. So I was very happy to see Victor.
Yeah, there was no disrespect at all. But what I'm saying is,
literally, yes, the ex-Giants
at the same time, like we literally caught the same injury at the same time. And I'm just seeing what the stuff that he was doing. And the low key was like motivation for me. I was like, yo, if he could do that, then I could do it. You know what I'm saying? But let's just be real, man. Professional athletes, sometimes they give them that type of stuff just so they can recover fast, man. Which, and I'm not against, actually, to be honest. So if Anderson Silva had to take some type of enhancement performance drugs or whatever just to get back into the octagon, hey, man, more power to him, man. I don't think Dana should penalize him or anything.
Not even the octagon, just to walk again, just to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just to walk again. Like, yo, it's different. Yo, I'll be honest. Yo, the most pain I've ever felt in my life was recovering from my surgery. Like, the worst pain ever in my life. So I can only imagine what it feels like to have your leg snap in half from a kick.
Oh, bro, you've done 1,000 times.
Yo, I know why people come at you, G. What? You describe stuff is just so terrible, G.
What?
You're making my leg hurt, G.
Son, that's
yo, we get, yo, we'll all say the same thing, but people be like, yo, that G. We
how you say it, yo.
G. Yeah.
How he just snapped like
he snapped his leg clean off. Like G just
oh
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey man, y'all better drink y'all milk, man. Get y'all calcium up, man. This is crazy. All right,
so just so before, so no one thinks that we're like laughing at someone's pain. G actually tore his patella and was injured on here, and Trill suffered some injuries as well. And I had a severe ankle sprain, and they said it would have been better if I broke it. would have healed better if I broke it, and that was some serious pain as well. And Ned's had his some injuries as well. So we're not just like left. We've all had injuries again. This is just one of those things where we're just talking like bros, having a good time. We've all been injured. We've all been laid up. So, you know, we understand, and our prayers are out to Chris Weidman.
Yeah, the last one. The charity event.
Oh yes. So we saw this. This must be like some making a wish thing, but we thought it was beautiful. So we just want to share it with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
to look at it.
All right. Yeah, man, you ain't got nothing.
Oh, give it to him. Look over the top. Right?
Hook shot it all.
Put him down.
Watch the floor.
You told him that book show. It ain't no joke. So, the starts went off with Trill Dollar Bill, man. When you saw that, what was your reaction?
You know, this sport, man. This sport can be so beautiful at times. You know, that right there. That warmed my heart. You know, this guy, obviously, you can tell he's a fan. He had everything down packed, mm-hmm. even trash talk. You let him know he ain't doing nothing. He let him know, like, he ain't got nothing. He was even talking to the crowd, like, what? Oh, all right. You know? Look, I thought that was beautiful. I watched it over and over and over again. And look, one word, just like our boxing sister said, all that, one word to describe this, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Everything going on in the world right now, this was beautiful, you know, and kudos to anybody that put this together. This is what we need to see more of, you know, this is what we need to see more of. And shout out to the man that was in there that got beat up like that. You know, he's a great sport. He was a great sport. And, hey, I want to see more things like this. I want to see more things like this. And you wonder why I get so emotional about this sport. Because this sport right here is like no other sport ever. This will let you know about anything you want to know about yourself. You will find out with this sport. Even if you just watching it, even as an observer, this sport is, it's, Arlette said it, beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right. Beautiful.
All right, Conspiracy G.
Yeah, man. Kind of what Trill was saying and Arlette saying, it was a beautiful moment, especially in a sport where it's usually like synonymous with like a blood sport and some people call it barbaric. You know, it's always good to see that this same sport could inspire others, you know, and, you know, raise awareness to things. So I thought it was dope, man. Like, and I didn't see that clip. You know, I seen like another one. It was like shorter, but this one, the longer version is actually pretty ill, man. Like, you guys should see how the opponent, forgive me, big dude's name with the tattoos. I don't really know him, but, you know, like, how he played along with the whole thing, man. That was dope, man. So, you know, I like to see more stuff like this, man. And hopefully this could bring more awareness to the sport, you know. Or we could bring, you know, other issues, you know, and bring it to the forefront of boxing. And so we could use the sport to actually raise awareness, raise funding, you know, raise money for research and things of that nature that benefit the people, man. So this was just a beautiful thing, and keep it coming.
All right, TBE.
Yeah, no, this was really dope. The falling, when the guy who stepped in the ring with that man to, you know, let this opportunity, give him the opportunity, like, for a special moment, that was pretty awesome. That's pretty dope. I can moderate it. I ain't even gonna get into that. I applaud him on that, and you know, it's pretty awesome. The fall, when he fall, him falling to the ground was reminiscent of Fight Night Champions. Yo, every time you're trying to fend off Tyson, you just get hit, you just go down. Yo, is that hit that goes down? But it's pretty dope. Like, I enjoyed that video.
Yeah, I saw this in the comment section of that video. It said, "Big guy, even bigger heart." And I thought that was the perfect way to describe that gentleman. And what he did in that ring is going to last that young man a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a highlight of a lifetime. I mean, he got to go in the ring. He got to showcase what he was doing against, you know, a big man who, you know, and he's sitting there. And listen, kudos to the guy wearing the tattoos, because he took some hooks. Like, you know, that guy, like Phil said, you could tell the young man, he watched boxing, he loved boxing, he was in there, he was mixing up the attack, he was throwing hooks to the body, to the head, he was coming in. So it was a beautiful thing to watch. And I do think these are things that a lot of people should cover more with the sport, because he made that young man feel like a champion. That young man is a champion, and he got to display that to the world. And I'm sure that's something that's going to stick with him for the rest of his life. The belt's probably hanging up. And it costs the big guy nothing, really. Maybe a little pain from some punches. But at the end of the day, you know, he did something that meant so much to that kid. That's invaluable to that kid. And that's what you love to see. And that's something, like Trill said, boxers do. And so, you know, it is what it is. Well, what happened?
A lot of people say
he just apologized for saying an inappropriate term. So I was we made mistakes. Mm-hmm. I will say this. One foot out the door, man. You gotta understand we on YouTube, so a number of things that you're saying, the reason why I didn't put them on the screen is because that would get us flagged. So
yeah, respect the community guidelines, y'all.
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just before you take us home, bro, I just want to say we're just four guys. We come here, we speak with each other like it's just us. We speak to you, we bring you in. We love everybody. We have love for everybody. We're not here trying to offend anyone. We're not here trying to hurt anyone. We just want to be able to speak, have dialogue, and enjoy each other's company. If we said anything during the course of this live stream that may have offended someone, we apologize. It's not our intent. You can get back to us and you can let us know what we may have said. But at the end of the day, we're just here for fun. Love and that's really what the Boxer Bros is all about.
Yeah, please like and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter, and also please check out our podcast on all major streaming services. We are the Boxing Bros. I'm Trill Dollar Bill. That's G. That's Ned the TBE, and that's Caden. Thank you for rocking with us.
Crooked finger salute, people.
Crooked finger, peace out.